Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside.
Hi there. Welcome to Grief to Growth Podcast. Your host is Brian Smith, spiritual seeker, best-selling author, grief survivor, and life coach. Brian believes that the worst tragedies of life provide the greatest opportunity for growth. Brian says he was planted, not buried, and he is here to help you grow where you've been planted by the difficulties in life. In each episode, Brian and his guests will share what has helped them to survive and thrive. It is his sincere hope this episode helps you today.
Before we start the interview with Mary at Dampier Jeans, I just wanted to let you know there were some technical difficulties. I wasn't able to record the video and we had a kind of unstable connection. So the audio does drop out here and there. But if you stick with it, I guarantee you it'll be worth it to get through to the end. It was a fascinating interview. So please forgive the few technical glitches and try to hang in there and get to the end. Hi, everybody. This is Brian Smith back with another episode of Grief to Growth. And I've got with me today Marier Dampier Jean. I'm going to ask you, Marion, is that how you pronounce your name?
No, it's Marion and it's Dampier Jeans.
Jeans. Okay. Sorry. Marion Dampier Jeans. Marion is a fascinating woman. She's actually a physical medium. We're going to talk about what that is because a lot of people may not be familiar with that. She is from, I believe it's Norway. And you live in...
I'm from Denmark, partly Norwegian.
Okay, I'm sorry. Denmark, partly Norwegian. And you live in England now, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I know you're a best-selling author, but our audience may not be familiar with you because your books are in the Norse language, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I got connected with Marion because you also know someone else. I think a common person we know is Marcus Lang.
That's right.
Who is also a physical medium. And you sat with one of the most physical mediums ever, Leslie Flint.
That's right.
And so I know some people might or might not be familiar with his work. And we'll talk again what about a physical medium is. But Mary and I are just going to have a conversation today and talk about what she's experienced in terms of physical mediumship, about her background as far as things like Norwegian shamanism, which a lot of us might not know is a thing. And we're going to just talk about those things. So with that, I want to welcome Marion Dampier Jeans.
Thank you.
So, Marion, tell me about your background. I was looking over your bio, and I know that you talked about Norwegian shamanism. So what is that?
Well, the shamanism from both Norway, Sweden, Finland, also Greenland and Iceland, is people who sort of live what we call the nature people. It's mm-hmm. very much like the American Indian. Mm-hmm. That's the way of sort of describing it. And they themselves has got wonderful kind of spiritual experience. Because I had traveled in all these countries, I get in contact with a lot of we call them shamanic people. And they show me a lot of very, very interesting things. And I'm also allowed to experience some of the, I said, their tradition, if you like, which mm-hmm. often sometimes reminds me a lot of the Red Indians because they live in something called Labo, which is a certain kind of tent in which the American Indian has, PGT, mm. same sort of thing. And they have like a little fire in the middle of the tent. And they also play drums, but in a different sort of way with something called a rhythm of yoiki, which is their kind of, you can call it trance music or, you know, sort of nature music. They do that to, you know, to a lot of the reindeers. They do it in the nature. They do it together. And they do that in Greenland too. They have got the same sort of people. The Itinu people is also people the uses of drums, Sweden and Finland and Iceland. It's all sort of interconnected, if you like, with nature people.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, again, from American perspective, we think about the indigenous people here and the drums and things like that, and we know about, you know, maybe those types of cultures in South America. But we may not be familiar with that type of culture being in a Nordic type of environment.
That's right. And I think that is what I have strived for my mediumship over 50 years of trying to open the doors around the world, that it isn't just the English-speaking countries or Brazil or wherever you go that has got this, but we have also got it in the Nordic region, in which we had some of the best mediums really in the world who sat for birth psychic research, you know, did a lot of work. And we had, once upon a time in Denmark, roughly about 30 sort of circles. Churches, spiritualist churches and things like that, though we don't actually have that many, but we have always been sort of forerunning, if you like, with investigations or people who went and sat for an investigation. And we had, you know, I have to say, some of the best mediums in the world. And I'm very sad to see that we don't talk about it, we don't know about them. And yet again, I have found various website all around the world that uses their pictures but have no idea who they are. Which is really fascinating for my part, you know, when I have done so much research over all my years.
Yeah, and so let's talk about, again, just to familiarize people with some of the terminology we're using. You mentioned spiritualist churches. What is a spiritualist church?
A spiritualist church is a place, it's almost like a Christian church, if you like, but it's set up bordered on spiritualism, on communication. You will have it in ordinary church, but it is, I would say, into spiritualism and communication.
Okay, yeah, that's again, it's something I think a lot of people might not be aware of. And I know about the spiritualist church, you know, being in England, I'm familiar with. I didn't realize there was a spiritualist set of churches in the Nordic countries as well.
Yeah, well, we have got it there too. We had many more than what we have right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, in England, I think that we've had in the region about 800 spiritualist churches all around Great Britain, and many of them in London. And of course, as a medium, I have had to serve a lot of those churches through my time as a medium. And I do believe that when you do work in a spiritualist church, you learn an awful lot. You learn about the communication. You learn about both the spiritual side of life, the human side of life. You learn so many things. And it's also there where you have actually got the best circle set in. As a circle means a gathering of people who would like to study or be part of, you know, studying spiritualism, its phenomena. If it's a healing circle, we have an awful lot of healing going on within our churches, which I feel is absolutely fantastic. And the best part, I think, of it all, it doesn't cost any money. It's like free of charge to go in there, which is great. And it is a gathering of friendship of people. And you learn each other to know. And it's just, you know, you have also often got libraries there. So you can go and you can borrow books and you can read more. As I said, you've got many demonstrations there, specific a Sunday service. It's very much like sort of a Christian service where you have got hymn singing and you have got all sorts of things there. But in the midweek services, we have got more like a demonstration of clairvoyantly rather than having lots of hymns. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so I've been to a spiritual church here locally, and I've seen usually in a spiritual church, or I guess maybe always, there's a demonstration of mediumship where someone will actually stand up and do what we call mental mediumship, where they'll connect with spirit on the other side.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it functions over here too. I think that some of our churches is more progressive in England, where you can have a demonstration of psychic art, for instance. You know, we had a fantastic psychic artist in England called Paul, and I work with Carl Paul many times in our spiritual churches where I will give the clairvoyantly and she will draw the picture of what I was trying to give. There was a communication between her and I and spirit and the people who was giving the drawings, and that's absolutely fantastic. So we had that going on. We have also had transfiguration in our churches quite often. Lots of sort of things goes on. So you really learn the background of spiritualism. You learn the background of communication and things like that. It's a good point of being in the church.
Yeah, I want to go over what you just said because you broke up a little bit there. You were talking about psychic art. So you were saying you would get a message and then you'd have an artist actually drawing an image of the person.
That's right. Her name was Coral Polge, and a very, very known British medium here in England. And I know she traveled for around the world, and you can look her up on the internet. She was absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But when you work with a psychic artist, you have to really be attuned together. And she had loads of children that came through, and I was giving the message to the parents. And then Coral were then drawing what I was seeing. And often what we did afterwards, we got the parents or the mother up and we sort of says, do of course, maybe you did. And then we produce a picture and Coral would then produce her picture. And there you were with the most fantastic evidence.
Wow. So you're getting a message from the child in spirit and Carol's getting an image. She's drawing the image and then you're getting validation from the mother That's that it. Happens to be there. Wow.
Yeah. A lot of the work I think that we have to realize mediumship must have a validation in what they're doing. It's no good just producing something. You have to have the validation in it matters not what you're doing really. And I think it's something that might be lacking a little bit today, but I work on that thing. You have to validate what it said. So, you know, whatever you give, however you give it, you have to have, I would almost say so much information that you realize that some of the information they might know, but you have to go home and check the rest and come back again and tell you. And bingo, there you are. It all sort of, you know, is completely evidential, which I always turn around and says to my congregation, well, there you are. I didn't read your mind. I couldn't read your mind because you didn't know about it. Right. So again, you have the validation, you see.
I think that's a very good point because that's one of the criticisms that skeptics have of mediumship. They say that mediums give vague information that can't be validated or that isn't validated and they could just be making it up and it's very general. But there is a level of mediumship that we call evidential mediumship where you do require, you know, validation. And as you said, sometimes you'll bring through things that the sitter doesn't know. Which is, I think, is interesting. One of the criticisms people say, well, you're just reading the sitter's mind. Like that's, you know, like that's something a materialist person would accept anyway. So, Mary, have you always been psychic? I know you grew up in this tradition, but have you always had the ability to communicate on the other side?
Yes, ever since a child. It's the same like my mother and my father. For me, I've always believed that mediumship or the way that I do my work actually mm-hmm. is part of gene in the family, really. My mother had it, and my father was into spiritualism in 1930, and my mother had, of course, her, you know, her mediumship up in North Norway. They got together, had me. But mm-hmm. it is, and truthfully, I feel, yes, you can learn it, but there's also something in you that is born within you. It's something you really can't get away from. You know, you can deny it's there and not go forward with it. Mm-hmm. But I have never denied it isn't there because I have always seen. But I have always questioned what I see. I think that this thing's about just accepting is wrong. I think you have to question. And I did that as a child also. I kept on questioning things over and over again. And I must say, sometimes I even sit back now as an adult and question my own ability and saying, well, is there anywhere else I can take this? Yeah. And I think that is maybe why that I have sort of, I have gone for just mental mediumship and for many years into the physical sense of mediumship because I wanted to have more than just the mental. I want to see, touch, feel, hear, film, and everything else.
You know, Maren, I think that's really, really fascinating what you just said. I've interviewed several mediums and I'm friends with a lot of mediums, and the mediums tend to be the biggest skeptics there are. You know, people say, oh, well, you're just taking things on faith. I've seen so many mediums that they push themselves always to get more evidence, and even doubting their own ability, even after years of even seeing physical phenomena like yourself or like when I talked to Marcus, you know, still kind of questioning like, you know, is this real or am I imagining it?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, something I want to tell you about today. My podcast platform, Buzzsprout, has recently made it easier for me to allow you to support me financially. Go to www.grieftogrowth.com/subscribe. That's grief2growth.com/subscribe. And once you're there, you can sign up to support me financially. Now, you can do it for as little as $3 a month or, of course, as much as you'd like. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll see those in the regular feed. They'll have a lock on them. But when you become a subscriber, you'll actually get access to your own private feed, and you'll be able to listen to the regular podcast along with the bonus podcast for the subscribers. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing the podcast. And I want to thank those of you who support me financially. Have a great day, and on to the episode.
Yes, that's right. And I think that if you don't do that, actually, you become stagnant. I think you just become totally stagnant. I think that you have both to go forward and learn new things, but you also, like myself, I still walk in the old ways that I was taught, but I do modernizing me and trying to understand the new technology. For instance, we are now sitting on Zoom and doing this. That is part of a new, things that everybody's doing. So I've had to learn, if you like, what can this technology now give me, for instance? And therefore, I have had a lot of experiences with the electronic voice phenomena, EVP, as we call it, because that your whole mind opens up to this. There's something new. I take pictures of spirit. I have got cameras that does it. So the technology with me is there. But again, you doubt, you see, you ask, and you just keep on bettering yourself. That's the only way I can ever say it. Keep on bettering yourself, and please don't stay stagnant in it. There is so many extraordinary things to see. And I think that that is why that I didn't just look at spiritualism and communication. I wanted to find the root of most things, because of spirit communication is not something that just have developed with the Fox sisters. It is something that has been beyond that, detangled it in those days. So I started to do extraordinary research because I wanted to know if we had things like hauntings, for instance, 300 years ago, and how did they actually do it then? How did they sort of get rid of people? What was their sign into that? So I have talked to a lot of very old people and sort of spoken to them of some of the things of what they used to sort of get rid of spirit, if you like, in the houses. And it's been fascinating. It's fascinating. And I have been allowed to see things maybe a lot of people have been. Mind is extremely open to research, understanding, talking to people. And that, of course, goes in Greenland. I mean, how many mediums goes to Greenland to work?
Yeah.
The biggest island in the top of the world. But I'm such a welcome medium up there and work for so many people and so many exploratories. You know, it's fascinating. There's so much to learn.
Yeah, it's interesting thinking about what you just said. So you started with spiritualism, and then you kind of went backward all the way back to shamanism. And then you're also going forward and seeing how can I incorporate, you know, different technologies into this. And as you've opened yourself up to being more receptive, more things have become available to you.
Yeah, that's right. And it is become available, because I think that just in the thought in which you actually send out to spirit, it does actually come closer to you. They sort of make the opportunity to let it come forth, if you see what I mean. You know, you just don't stagnate. It is these things about, I hear so many mediums that goes on the platform and they would trot around being a medium or maybe being a healer, but you don't actually learn the background of it. I mean, I took up many, many years ago, we talk about healing and how does healing work and things like that. I managed to meet somebody it's called Devon Cornwall in England and also in North Norway. And a lot of people don't understand when I say, do you realize that there's people in, you know, going back 100 and 200 years who could stop the blood on people? We call them blood stoppers. And, people sort of says, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know, if you think about nature and you're in the middle of nowhere and somebody has an accident, well, 200 years ago, we didn't have a mobile phone. Could an ambulance just get to them? So they had their own healers, if you like. And if somebody has you know, cut themselves, like, let us see, on the sea, you know, and it was really bad and it was spurting with blood. I actually had somebody that could just touch it and the blood would stop automatically.
Wow.
Yeah. And these still exist today and are used in certain hospitals.
Yeah, I think it's a good lesson for all of us. You know, the what you talked about just there is being open, studying and exploring, because a lot of my listeners will ask, well, how do I connect as well? We know that people like you, for example, are born with some ability and you've worked really, really hard to develop, you know, even more ability. But all of us have some amount of ability to connect and we can all work on making what we have better, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it just comes to people taking their time and wanting to. But my husband always says to me, you know, today living is like eating a McDonald's, fast, quick, and then you're hungry again. Mm. And I think that he's probably right in that. You know, things has to develop. I mean, I've just seen so many people who wants to become so-called mediums because of the money involved in it and what can you earn from it and how quick can you learn it. And I think that maybe people don't understand the responsibility in which the medium actually have. Mm-hmm. And we have to take that responsibility because it comes from us when we do the communication. You can't turn around and say, oh, excuse me, but it was spirit who said it. No, you have to go back and question why spirit said it, mm-hmm, and how they said it and why did they say it to take it forward to people. So, yeah, it is a matter of, I think, learning and studying. I always say, sit in a circle, it costs you nothing. It's free.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what a circle is, because again, some people might not be familiar with that term. So what is it? What is a circle?
A circle is, you can have various different circles. You can have a physical circle, a mental circle, a mm-hmm healing circle, a rescue circle. So mm-hmm there's many circles, but it all relates to spirit communication. Mm-hmm. But a circle is a gathering of people who actually do sit in a circle. And they have like a medium that would be able to teach or be taught by spirit to give mm-hmm it into the circle so they can all learn together. So each one of them can develop. And you might have somebody who come into a trance medium and can develop the trance mediumship in a circle, but it is very, very much safe to actually develop in that circumstances rather than sitting at home or going to a pub or restaurant and talking about spirit and trance or whatever.
Yeah.
So it is a safe environment. I think that that's what we're trying to say about the circle.
And there seems to be something about being in a circle that kind of people like potentiate each other or kind of feed off of each other's energy, I guess, because it seems like, especially in physical mediumship, I know I was talking to Marcus and he can do some phenomena alone, but I think most physical mediums work in a circle. Is that correct?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe the NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, we do. There's some people like Marcus and myself who do get it in public and we don't have to circle and see it, you know, in with me in spirit teachers and with Marcus sometimes when he sit and with people and eat and things like that, you know, he will have a port and things like that. Mm-hmm. That happens also to me. So it can develop itself outside as well. But most circles that produce physical mediumship, it is the safety. And it has to be safe because it's one of the, I would sort of say, the most dangerous form of mediumship is physical mediumship.
Yes. Well, let's talk about physical mediumship and what that actually is. So mental mediumship we're familiar with. Someone sits and it's their voice, the medium's voice, and they're getting mental images or pictures or sounds or whatever it is from spirit, and they relay that through their own voice, through their own faculties. How is it different from physical mediumship?
Well, the physical mediumship is when everybody is present at the time, can both see, hear, and if you want to, touch spirit. So it isn't just one person who's there, we are a group of people, but everybody can see the same thing or hear the same thing. Mm-hmm. And this is when I started back, oh God, many, many donks ago, when I was invited by Leslie Flint and his boyfriend Bram to go to their house in Paddington, because at Leslie Flint, for those who don't know Leslie Flint, he was perhaps one of the most tested mediums, I have to say, in physical mediumship, which is an independent voice. That means a voice will appear outside the medium. So the medium doesn't actually go into trance. The medium's voice is behind, but you see actually, or you hear the voice has been taken away, almost like in a box or voice box, we call it. Mm-hmm. And me and my husband was allowed to go and witness first one of these wonderful demonstrations he did within his home. Mm-hmm. Thereafter, I went many times and started to know Leslie Flint a lot. But can you imagine sitting in what we call a Victorian house, beautiful place in Paddington in London, his room was used almost like a little cinema, because there were seats like in a row, like a cinema. Mm-hmm. And Leslie Flint would sit, you know, sort of towards looking at all of us. And he would just sit on a big chair, and the light will sort of be dimmed, but not completely dark. I mean, it was dark, but not dark, dark, if you can say it like that. Mm. And Leslie Flint was awake. And that is very unusual in for that form of mediumship, because right. normally we have the medium sitting, what we call in a box, a cabinet, where they are totally knocked into trance, deep trance, and then they're used that way. But his phenomenon was absolutely extraordinary, because he was awake. So when he was sitting there, you suddenly heard his prime guide, which was Mickey, coming in. And those two were having a conversation together until you heard another voice in another part of the room suddenly talking, and Deku suddenly turned around and says, "Are you two talking together, or can we all chip in from the world of spirit?" And then you will hear a Scottish voice, an American voice, a Cornish voice, a Corbrimey Cockney voice. You will hear voices of all nationality. And in a little while after that one, when I went to see Leslie again, my father came through in a Danish voice. So he didn't understand Danish. I mean, you know, not many people understand that language altogether.
Right.
You know, so he was in Danish, my father trying to say some words, and all I could hear was Leslie Flint come through and say, "What's he saying? What's he saying?" Never mind, Leslie, I understand it. So, you know, it's quite fascinating. But there you have got the altar proof, if you like.
Right.
You have a different language coming through. And it's something I have realized, even being a medium in England for so many years, that the British people seems to want to just speak English and you stick it to there. Mm-hmm. But when I have been on the platform, I have introduced other languages if I hear it. So my hearing with spirit, I could hear Spanish and I could say a few words in Spanish plus the name. Wow. In French, it's the same.
Wow.
I do that quite often, but that's because of my hearing is very acute with spirit. I understand what is said.
Yeah, that's very unusual. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very unusual, but that is the way I have always said to spirit, don't use me just as a medium, use me as something different. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be just an old, you know, just a medium that just stand there. Let's get some evidence going.
Wow. I got to tell you, I'm jealous that you sat with Leslie Flint. I've listened to some of the Leslie Flint tapes, and it's just, it's amazing. And you talked about his primary guide, Mickey. Mickey comes through in the voice of a little boy.
Oh, so, he was.
Yeah.
He was a little boy. He got killed somewhere in the east end of London. He's actually quite a Cockney. Do you know what a Cockney is?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's very Cockney. He's called Blimey type. All right, mate. That kind of, you know, sort of.
Yes.
that then, if you're not sometimes really familiar with the sort of the Cockney language, you have to go, what did he just say? So there's quite a laughter with it. But it was also interesting, which a lot of people don't actually hear, but of course sitting with them, you know, there was also arguments between those two, this and and Mickey, because that you could hear Leslie Flint sometimes sitting, going like that, trying to clear his throat when Mickey was talking. And you would hear Mickey turn around saying, stop snorting. And he would say, I'm not snorting. And there would be these arguments about him clearing his throat. And it was very humorous, but he kept on lifting the vibration all the time.
Right. So
it was really wonderful. But I learned one valid lesson there, which I have to really tell people, because so many people don't understand this. There was a gentleman called Peter that also came and to see Leslie Flint. I think that he has sat many of times. And his wife, Sue, had passed over many years ago as a young woman. I think she might have only been about 35 when she's passed over. Mm-hmm. And he had a hope that she will come through. And then one day, Leslie said, right out, well, I don't understand why she doesn't come here. So he said to Mickey, well, go and see if you can find her. So Mickey said, why should I do that? I said, well ask. So Mickey sort of disappeared, and we were all just sitting there talking. And then suddenly what happens then is that he comes back and says, well, I can't find her. So I was having a conversation, and I really understood something from that point of view. I really had to, you know, think, what is this all about? Mm-hmm. And I realized it is not all spirit who wants to come through.
Right, right.
Not everybody who wants to come through, if it was to Leslie Flint or to another medium. So I know that we can't sit there and say, well, we will want to talk to that one, and that one. He may not want to come through. And sometimes it can take years before they come through, because it happens in London many years ago when a lady who lost her son had been going to, I don't know how many mediums she's been going to, and she came to me. And when she sat opposite me and just looked at her and saying, oh, I've got your son here. He's ever so wet. He's dripping. Hmm. And she went, my God, he said he fell in the River Thames and drowned. And she told me she's been to mediums over 15 years and he just didn't come through anybody. So again, I was pondering, why me? Why did he come through to me? Mm-hmm. So my question again comes in and rolling in. And of course, Spirit later have told me it's because your connection was what he needed. He needed that connection.
Yeah, it's a three-way connection. It's between you and the person, the spirit. And as you said, some spirits can come through easier to certain mediums. Yeah. I'm thinking about the skeptics in our audience and people who haven't heard about physical mediumship, and they're saying, okay, wait a minute. This guy, there's different voices in the room. You talked about being able to touch. So you talked about materializations. So I want to reemphasize some of the things you said. I mean, Leslie Flint was one of the most researched mediums, and he let himself be researched.
Yeah.
I know it was the Society for Psychical Research, I think, that some people.
But many more people around the world, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you're in the room, and this is back in, what time frame are we talking?
Well, we're probably going back to, I mean, he was the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and he passed over. So did he pass over in the 80s or 90s? I don't know. But I sat with him during the last 70s into the 80s. That's when I sat with Leslie.
Yeah, so there wasn't a lot of electronic things that he could have been doing.
And there wasn't. I always remember that when he gave me a tape that I had to listen to, and the tape was a reel-to-reel, very big one. That's what he had. He didn't have the small ones. Was it really, you know, the big ones he had in the old?
Yeah, yeah. I know one of the guys that's working on getting those tapes translated before they corrode. Yeah.
That's it. So I had one of those ones. I had to go and listen to him. Mind you, I didn't understand a word. It was bleeding Polish. I was Polish. So I had to, with all my interconnection in London, I know my girlfriend, Ruth, was Polish. I said, translate this for me. What are they saying? And what was very interesting at that particular stage, what came through, it was, I think it was about two ladies or maybe a gentleman or whatever it was. They were talking to each other in Polish. And what actually happened was they were talking to each other about being gassed under the Second World War in Elsa. And that was a very dramatic thing to listen to, really. And I felt very bad for days on end, I remember, and having to also say to Leslie that that's what it was on the tape. And he just said, oh, okay. And that was said no more.
Yeah. So, and the other thing about Mary or Leslie, he didn't take money for this, right? I mean, he was, it's like he was getting rich doing this.
No, he wasn't getting rich by doing this one, but he had to take a little bit of money when you saw him because, it, you know, you have to pay for the electricity, the gas and everything. But it wasn't really like today's money. I mean, it was very little, you know, that he get, you know, he got, I would say, you know. But the most wonderful part about all this is that Leslie Flint and Gordon Higginson, which is another medium from London, they have come through to me several times in physical circles and talking about the good old days. With their voices and stories that no one would have known in a gathering of physical mediumship. It has only between Leslie Flint, Gordon Higginson, and myself who knew the stories.
Oh, wow. Do you have recordings of that?
No, because we didn't record it because it was like, I think one of them was in Devon and one of them was in Kent. So I'm not quite sure if those recording was actually being recorded by the physical medium in the cabinet because that David Thompson was one of them. And the other medium was, he just passed over about 2 years ago. Forgot his name now, but that was the sort of times where he came. Yeah, Colin Fry, that was it.
Oh, Colin Fry, yes, yeah.
I knew both of them. You see, the fun part about my mediumship is I actually know the man that trained them. I know the people who trained them as mediums. That's as far back as I go.
Wow. Well, and it's a small club. So as we're talking about this, and again, I'm thinking my audience, some people are going to be incredulous and say, this can't be real. This is not a common phenomenon. There are only very few people in the world that can do this type of thing.
And that is very true indeed, because it is a rare phenomenon. You have to have something extra in you, if you like, this kind of thing. But I think that there's new technology. We have to talk about technology again that's coming forward. You have got the Skull Experimental Group, which is, the Skull Group who sits with a new energy, new based energy, which they don't use a cabinet and they don't actually use just one medium, they use many more medium. And that's a fantastic phenomenon. You can go in and you can have a look at a Skull Experiment on YouTube. It's absolutely fascinating.
Oh, the Skull Experiments.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Extraordinary. Now, I also know them, you see, because we go back sort of about 40 years together.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for me to see that there is new things that is being developed. It is absolutely extraordinary to see that. So I think in the way of it, you know, like all my people that I'm teaching, you've got to, you know, I'm also a teacher and I teach them to sit for physical mediumship and set up circles. And I do not want them to sit in darkness. I want them to have recording equipment and also film it in infrared light or in a red light situation. So we have a little red light on the floor and then we have a camera that can actually film in that light. Plus we have recording of it. And it has been absolutely extraordinary what we have seen.
Really. Yeah, I want to emphasize with people that we were talking about the Skull Experiments, and that's S-C-O-L-E, and encourage you, go look that up on YouTube. There's some really, really fascinating things that have been done, and Marion, again, you made some really good points here, because another criticism of physical mediumship is, and traditionally, it was done with the medium in the cabinet, and it was done in total darkness. So people would ask, why does it have to be in darkness? Because obviously, if it's in the dark, then people could be hiding things. And there have been, there have been people who have cheated. That is absolutely true. But it seems to be moving toward the light. I know Marcus is doing a lot of work in the light and you're working, it sounds like, in light. Is that correct?
But you see, you have to also, because you don't know who I am, but I have been fought for this for about 25 years that we have go towards the light. I don't like the darkness at all. And I can tell you that most mediums around the world thought it was a nutcase and turned around and literally said, it can't be done. And said, yes, it can. We have to bring it into the light because in darkness is where the cheating comes in. And I don't want to have anything to do with the cheating at all. And I have seen, you know, cheats in the dark in physical mediumship I'm not afraid of standing up and saying that. Mm-hmm. And I have that totally disgusting because I know what physical mediumship are. And this is absolutely ridiculous. So we need to have either a little red light or whatever, like, so you can see through the darkness. It doesn't have to be daylight, though a lot of things happens during the daylight mm-hmm. now. I mean, my last sort of experiment in which we did was in Denmark with a physical medium in Denmark I have trained. And I was fascinating to see ectoplasm in the light coming from his mouth, his nose, his ears, and actually hearing two voices developing from ectoplasm so everybody could see it, wow. including that the table levitating in midair without anybody touching it, and then coming over to me and laying on top of me. And then I had a message from a gentleman in Denmark, in Danish, who was a researcher in Denmark, called Thorsten. And that was fantastic. And I have also seen how that they have developed what we know as ectoplasm, how it's actually built by the medium have stepped aside out of the cabinet with the light on, with arms fully stretched, and you saw the ectoplasm falling from his hands, almost like glue, if you like, and you can hear like that dripping onto the floor, and we were allowed to touch it, and we was touching ectoplasm, you know, in our hands. But as soon as we took the hands away from it, it was completely dry, our hands. It was fascinating. So when you have been allowed to go as far as I have and have seen these things, you know that it can be done in the light, because if we are allowed to touch suddenly ectoplasm, then we have moved away from the old days where you weren't allowed to use or touch ectoplasm because of the danger of it. So we have actually moved tens of steps forward.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because you talked about the ectoplasm. And again, some of these restrictions that people were very skeptical of in the past. It has to be in the dark. You couldn't touch the ectoplasm. And if any light came into the room, it would snap back into the medium's body and cause either grave injury, or sometimes people even died.
Yeah, that's right. So it's nice to see that not only do the mediums develop, spirit develops, everything develops. And I think that's where we are going to, is through this development. I know that sometimes when I have sat with spirit and we have been talking and things like that, and I have asked spirit, well, why don't you show yourself more than you do? And there's a little bit of a pause. And then spirit is saying, well, we also have to take in consideration all the religious people around the world, and the Bible, and the Muslims, and everybody else who doesn't have a belief, and we don't want to kill, if you like, a faith.
That's really interesting. It reminds me of a session that Leslie Flint did with a young woman, I can't remember her name, but she came through and she was being very, she was a Christian, and she was trying to recruit the people in the room to become Christians.
Yeah. So you can understand, can't you? So we also have this danger, in a sense of it, if you like, that if we bring forward, do you see what I mean, all our technology and things like this, it could kill off the whole, the Christian faith or the Muslim faith or whatever. And I don't think that's really what spirit wants. I think that he wants to clarify things, that there is a life beyond this one. Maybe it should be taught more, perhaps, in, in our churches, in our Christian churches, because you keep on talking about when we die, we go to heaven, but you never bloom and explain anything about heaven.
Exactly.
I wish they would. With that. So yeah, there's a lot of things. But as I said, it's like Mark has, him and I find coins all over the place. He finds everything. So we have a lot of fun together. We talk about what have we found now. It's just fantastic. But that's all done in the night.
So. Well, I think this is just my personal opinion. I think there's a reason for the veil, that we come here, and the forgetfulness is for a reason, so that we can focus in this world and develop and go through our struggles and our lessons and all that. But I think maybe humanity has forgotten too much who we are. Yeah. And so I think spirit is kind of giving us a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a tweak. But Marcos is also telling me, and tell me whether you agree with this or not, that it seems like spirit is having to develop as well. Because one of his guys he's working with, he sent Marcos some technology. It's not quite there yet. So they're still developing on their side, how they can communicate better with us.
Absolutely. It is like a two-way thing every time. They move with us because our knowledge goes forward, but they also have to learn the knowledge from the other side. I mean, I have always sat many of times, and it's again my pondering little world in my little mind and what I'm sitting with. You know, hang on, where's all those scientists up there? They surely have something to say. When are you going to tell us what kind of petrol we have to drive or how to do this kind of operation? I'm just thinking about why do we always have the mundane? I mean, you lovely those spirits, the mundane. Why don't we get some more knowledge? And when I start questioning that one, what happens then is suddenly Niels Bohr, which is a Danish scientist. He came through to me. He's Danish. And he came through with something I never knew. Actually, he wrote it on a piece of paper, scientifically written something. And I gave it to a scientist I know. And he said, my God, that's the theory on Niels Bohr.
Wow.
So they do come through, but I think that what we have to do, we have to sit with them, we have to understand. And as I'm just a layperson, I don't understand a little bit about languages, but certainly not about the language that they write. But it can be done, that's what I'm saying. So why don't we also use a little bit of spirit and sort of saying, you know, about that technology and about, you know, not necessarily that we have to be vegetarian or vegans because we believe in spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's other ways that we might be able to get information, you know.
It's really fascinating to think about this. And I know people, they ask, why don't we have this? And, you know, there's, I guess there's also, you know, free will. And again, we come here for a reason, for development. So it'd be like, if they gave us all the answers, it'd be like cheating on the test, right? You know, we don't, they can't get it.
But there is a lot of things you can tell us.
Yeah.
I'm still putting my fingers and saying, come on, you could have told me that, you know, this kind of thing. And he just, I mean, my spirit team has a great sense of humor, you know. They always do funny things to me, I have to say. But I learned by that. They love to raise the vibration, to work through the vibration, she says, of laughter. Even if things sometimes can go through and give evidence about a child, you will still see that sometimes the children come through with a wonderful vibration of laughter. You know, one thing that we have to remember, whoever it is we are talking to on the other side, once upon a time had a personality on Earth. And they don't just lose that personality, they still have it. And that is a good way of being able to do communication and bring that personality through. And being able to give that also as evidence, which very often happened with me. In fact, we had in one of my circles, we also had a little boy in a physical circle who always came and played, and he was really funny. So we learned a lot about him. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's another point I think that's really interesting, because I think about Leslie Flint's, you know, guide Mickey, who was a little boy when he passed, but that was, you know, 100 years, I think, before he came through to Leslie in the circle, but he still came through as that little boy, even in a little boy voice.
And that's because that's how he remembered it most when he was linked to the earth plane.
Right.
So he seems to take that. I mean, I have often sort of seen spirit or talked to spirit, and he showed himself sort of a year before the death, and he could be up in the 8 of 80 when he passed over. And then suddenly he changes and he become young again. And it's very lovely to see the two substance between being the old person he coming through with or the young one. I mean, I had been on the platform, I did that in Denmark a couple of days ago. I stood up there before, and I suddenly fell over. And people said, are you all right, man? I said, yeah, but he was so drunk and had no feet and eyes.
Wow.
The evidence lied there. He was an alcoholic with no feet.
Well, I have to ask you, Marion. So, mental mediumship, which was what most of us are familiar with, you know, people can say, oh, well, that's just the medium making things up, or they're getting the, but physical mediumship would be an opportunity that we could really prove to people. If we could do it in the light and we could film it, we could have undeniable proof. Do you think that will ever happen?
Oh, yeah, I think that it will. But I think that spirit is very slow coming through with this at the moment. And I think, as everyone's saying, it might just be because of other people's belief and things like this. And it could be like almost a fourth world war, I would say, you know, if suddenly spiritualism comes through and you know, prove all this. I mean, where does religion go from there? Do you understand? Yeah. Where does the Christian church go from there? Where does the Bible go from there? You know, there would be too many questions. I think slowly by slowly, but we don't have, I have to say, that many physical mediums, neither that border on extreme evidence. And we've got to remember that a lot of people hasn't come through physical mediumship with full materialization of spirit, which means that he will stand in a room and look at you so everybody can see it. We have got touching and we have got independent voice and all sort of things like that, but very few medium can actually master today full communication as in full materialization, which is very different.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there has been, I mean, I know people have sat in circles and they come out totally convinced. You know, I think of Sandra Champlain. I know she works with Scott Milligan. Yeah. And I know some people that have been to those circles and seen the phenomenon of toys flying around the room or children touching them or even a loved one coming up and kissing them on the head or something. A materialization of someone who's in spirit. So then we can rely, we could say, well, that's a third-hand report. We've seen someone that's seen something. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we ever have something that's definitive that we can show it to someone, you know, maybe on film, but there can be unintended consequences. I'm trying to recall a movie. I can't remember what it was. I think it was on Netflix where they found proof of the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And in this movie, this is fictional, of course, there were massive suicides around the world because people are like, if I know there's an afterlife, then why am I hanging out here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So
what is very interesting is that I have to then smile again about, sorry, my sense of humor. We have, as I said to you, in my circles, we have film cameras and things like that put up. But we don't just have one. We have about two or three. So it covers the whole room from all different angles. And there has been times where spirit are starting to develop and suddenly all of the cameras has been taken off the wall, turned off, and laid underneath a chair.
Wow.
Yes. And that's not happened once. It's happened many of times. And we sit in there going, well, why did they do that? We actually find it afterwards underneath our chairs. Wow. So there's obviously something that spirit would not want to have filmed. And I always say, oh, that's because you couldn't do it. Yes, we could. But it was spirit who stopped it by taking it off the wall and putting them under our chair. We had then the recording going, which was fine. And even in our recordings, we didn't hear them take it off. That's the interesting part. We just did not hear them remove them and put them under our chairs.
Yeah. I just remember the name of the movie was called The Discovery. And it was done by Robert Redford. It was, like I said, it was an interesting thing. You know, I work on the Soul Phone Project. So I'm working with Dr. Schwartz and I'm just a small part, but we're working on technology for people to be able to actually talk to loved ones on the other side. And, you know, we have to think about what happens, you know, when this is actually quote unquote proven, because most of us, a lot of us already know it's been proven. It's just not maybe scientifically. And so when this movie came out, I was all excited to watch it and it really explored, you know, the dark side of what, if this happens. Yeah. So these are things that we have to, you know, be aware of. And I'm sure spirit is more aware of than we are. And maybe that's why it's just coming to us slowly and we need to develop to the point where we're ready to deal with it.
Yeah, but I also know that we always talk about the good side of spirit and about God knows what else. Well, we've got to remember there's also danger.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We never talk about that. Mm-hmm. We close our eyes to that, but we can't do that. We got to remember that we're living in a world that is so destructive at the moment and things like that, that there's equally as many destructive spirits who love to come through and things like that. It's just something I mentioned because we close our eyes towards it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist. We want to see the goodness, you know, this kind of thing. The devil might be there somewhere, but he's just in the background because all the good conquer us. But it isn't quite so. I mean, we have to be aware all the time, you know, what is going on. I mean, one thing I have always said, it starts actually with us. It starts with our thoughts. Because so many people in this world, they sit there and they send so many bad thoughts out. And we just have to look at, I have to say, President Trump, how many people who hates the man and sent these thoughts out towards him. And, you know, from all part of the world, I mean, what will happen in the end if the man is gone mad? well, he's already, but he's gone even more mad.
Yeah.
But where does those thoughts, what happened to these thoughts when we know thought has got power? It rains down upon us. So yeah. We are in a world now where people are negative, aggressive outside, all sorts of things. And we wonder, why is this? We are self-destructive as man. We don't have these thoughts. They're supposed to be lifted up. And unfortunately, some of the worst quotes I have seen has been from mediums and spiritual people about Trump.
Yeah, you make an excellent point.
I'm actually shocked. You know, do you know what I say when people talk about, oh, God bless him and his cotton sucks?
Yeah.
I say, I don't want to get involved. I rather send good thoughts someone, hope he can use it.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You know. And this
background is engineering. So I studied things from a physical perspective. So this idea that thoughts have power is, you know, an interesting one to me. It's frankly fairly new, but I've become convinced over the last several years that thoughts do have real power, and people don't think that they do. So as you said, we send these negative thoughts out into the world, and then we wonder why the world is so screwed up.
That's it. And I think it's a very good point, the fact you're trying to tell people to lift their thoughts, you know. I mean, we have old sayings, come off, mind your thought, be careful what you're thinking. I mean, everything has a background. Why does all these people, thoughts have a background? Because there's part of reality behind it. I think that was how I started to do my research. I wanted to know. I had to go back in time to find out, well, why did you do that? And why this? And I was asking questions. And of course, you know, I found a lot of the answers, how they did it. So I did that with thoughts also, by trying to look, what is thoughts? What is in it? What is the energy in thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we think it, we understand that there's energy, but again, we don't understand that thoughts have energy and that thoughts have real impact. We think, okay, you say watch your thoughts. We're like, well, because thoughts lead to actions and actions lead to physical things in the world. But what we don't understand is thoughts themselves can become physical manifestations.
That's it. So we always have thoughts. But then, you know, there's also things that can manifest itself in thought form. You know, we have also got that. I mean, it happens with a lot of people, you know, but it's a very good point. That's why I always have been very cautious and careful. I don't do anything without being cautious and careful in my mediumship or in what I research. I double check again. It's my sort of lifestyle. I have to see it more than once. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's great. And I think that's why you've gotten as far as you have, because it's not just a happy coincidence and not an accident. It's because that you've worked to develop what you've got, and you've been curious and you've remained open, and you're working, you know, in conjunction with spirit and respecting, you know, spirit. So, you know, as you said, these things had to open up to you. And that's, you know, even though we're not all going to become physical mediums or become to the level that you are, it can be a model for all of us who are trying to figure out, you know, how do I make my life a little bit better? How do I connect with spirit? You know, how do I understand spirit more? And these are things we can all do.
Yeah. And I would say to anybody who's listening to go out to do a research, open your mind, find out. I've been doing that a lot. I mean, recently I thought, oh, I wonder how other religion are. So I went into a Sikh temple. I went into, you know, a Hindu temple. I went into a Buddhist temple. I just wanted to know about their way of thinking, their way of maybe mantras, you know, chanting, whatever they do. For me, it was dead interesting. It was really, really interesting just to know other cultures. I just find that cultures are fantastic, I have to say, and learn some of and respect it. You know, it is extremely fascinating. It really, really is.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, talking about the Nordic history, which is interesting because, you know, being someone who's North American, we think about, again, the Native Americans, and we think about maybe the South Americans. We don't think about the cultures, the ancient cultures in places like Norway and the differences. But what's more incredible to me, the similarities. You know, you talked about the drumming and the trance things, and these things, you know, occur all over the world at around the same time when people didn't really have direct connections physically.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, I have seen the most wonderful things in all the countries. Some of them is quite scary, but take that with a pinch of salt too, and you're going, oh my God, and you start thinking, but that was how they lived and that's how they have done. You also saw the development maybe like in Greenland and Iceland and North Norway, North Finland, all these places. Don't forget that half of the year it is actually in darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is in the light. That is a phenomenon on its own. So they have a lot of, I will say, sort of stories they can tell during the evenings, during the night, where it never actually ever really got light. And lots of physical things happens there. And it is, you know, I've just been sitting going, oh my God. I mean, you take like something you probably don't know, like Iceland, they have an incredible belief in the small people who lives in the ground, you know. And, you know, I have been sort of talking to the police there who told me fantastic stories, scary stories. And I have been actually in a house and in a place where they do actually have a totally belief in the small fairies, the small people and things like that. And has showed me things that's happening. And I have been absolutely astounding. Absolutely. But fascinating, really.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you bring that up because I was interviewing someone the other day and the interview hasn't come out yet, but she was talking to me. And she mentioned in her bio about the fairies. I was like, tell me about the fairy people. And, you know, we kind of laugh as modern people. We say, oh, fairies, those are ancient beliefs. You know, and she's like, no, there really are fairies. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that, if we open up our mind to and we hear these ancient stories and we think they're just myths, we might find out they're not just myths.
No, it isn't. And I think that's where my fascination has also been. I went up to Norway, again, speaks the language, and I was sitting in Norway and somebody was telling me from the north of Norway that their grandfather had a very old farm, and all the farms are of wood and things like that. And he had got to think about 4 or 5 cows or something like that, and 2 of the cows wouldn't bleed milk, and he couldn't get any milk out of them, and he was in the barns, and when he woke up in the morning he was sort of all upset and everything else like that. So he called somebody in who could talk to trolls and elves or whatever it was, and then this man started to laugh and saying, you have to move those 2 cows further down, he said, like this, because where they are at the moment is on top of the house, on the bottom, you know, in the earth. And every time they're sitting down to have the supper or breakfast, you know, earth falls down to them because it is stamping on the top, these cows. But if you move them a little bit further down, you will have the milk. So the guy went, what? So he literally took those cows and put them right away down the other end in the barn. And the very next day, the milk came.
Wow. Wow.
So tell me about that one. I'm fascinating. I'm going, really? You know, I was so excited of hearing stories like that. So because I heard them in Iceland and was part of that in Iceland, which was just research in which I did too. Fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. There's so much more in this world, I think, than we're aware of if we keep our minds open to it. And that's what I'm thinking of my listeners as they're listening to this interview. And again, some people are going to just say this is over the top, crazy, incredible. But I think we're very shortly. I was again talking to my friend Marcus Lang, who you know, who's a physical medium, who's actually bringing some pretty amazing electronic things through now. That I'm thinking in maybe 5 or 10 years, we might have undeniable proof of communication with the other side. And it's not just Marcus. Sonia Rinaldi's working on things. Gary Schwartz is working on the cell phone. So these things are going on around the world. And people like yourself and Marcus that people haven't heard about, I think the word's going to get out, you know, very soon.
Yeah, but I think it's great because we are people of all nations. So it isn't just like in America and it's Australia, it's in Scandinavia or the Nordic countries. It's all over, even in Brazil. That is fantastic evidence going on in Brazil, in which I am absolutely, again, completely gobsmacked off. I think I'll go for a trip to Brazil and so you see it there, because I love, as I said, to go to various different countries and study it and learn even more.
Yeah. Well, Marion, I'm going to, I told you we keep this about an hour. We've been running just about an hour, but I could talk to you all day. This is really fascinating and a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. I hope my listeners have learned a lot. Where can people get a hold of you, Marion?
Well, you can actually, I mean, the best things to do, because what we're doing, we are changing my website completely, and that's going to take another 2 or 3 months to be able to get into a proper website. Again, we had so much problems with it. Why don't you just write to me? Well, I'll get bumped down with emails, but I have an email address, which is mdjuk, and it's at hotmail.com. That's mm-hmm. my public one. Okay. Just write to me there.
Yeah, okay. So mdjuk at hotmail.com.
And Marion's Dampier Jean, she lives in UK, so there you go. So my initials.
Yeah, and just to tell everybody, your spelling of your name, it's Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, and it's Dampier, D-A-M-P-I-E-R dash J-E-A-N-S. And that'll all be in the show notes, for the show.
I always say to people, is Marion Dampier Jean's good looking?
There you go. Well, Marion, it's been a real pleasure to meet you. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Pleasure to meet you too.
All right. You have a great rest of your day.
And you too, darling. You take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I want to make it really easy for you to reach me. So just send me a text to 31996 and simply text the word growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. In fact, you can right now just say, "Hey Siri, send a message to 31996, and when Siri asks you what you want to send, just say growth. You can do the same thing with OK Google. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Grief to Growth. Brian hopes that you find this episode helpful and will come back for future episodes. Brian's best-selling book, Grief to Growth, Planted Not Buried, is a great resource for anyone who is coping with grief or knows someone who is. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support it, there are three things you can do to help. The first is to share the podcast with someone that you think it will help. The second is to go to iTunes, rate, and review the episode. The third way you can support the podcast is by becoming a patron. Head over to www.patreon.com/grief2growth. That's patreon.com/grief. The number 2, growth, and sign up to make a small monthly donation. Patrons get access to exclusive bonus content and knowledge that you are helping to spread the message of grief to growth. For more about Brian and Grief to Growth, visit www.grief2growth.com.
Hey there, if you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.